Hello everyone, I'm Priyanka Kama, the founder and CEO of 100 Girls in Blockchain, and you're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing.
Yeah. My name is Abhay Dandekar, and I share conversations with talented and interesting individuals linked to the global Indian and South Asian community. It's informal and informative, adding insights to our evolving cultural expressions, where each person can proudly say, trust me, I know what I'm doing. Hi, everyone. On this episode of Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing, we share a conversation with the founder and CEO of 100 Girls in Blockchain, Priyanka Kamat. Stay tuned. You know, I've been grateful over the years to share some conversations with some amazing guests, but the greatest reward always comes from you listening and expressing and building community. So thank you so much for sharing with your friends and rating and reviewing and following along wherever you might be catching this right now. Your reviews and follows and shares mean a lot to me, and I'm really quite grateful. So have you ever worked on a large jigsaw puzzle? It's often tedious, and many times the individual pieces look like they're just a collection of jumbled colors and distortions. But slowly, as things start fitting, the scene becomes crystallized and you start seeing the big picture. For Priyanka Kamat, the founder and CEO of 100 Girls in Blockchain, the puzzle pieces are complex and numerous, and the big picture is both imperative and important. Her mission has been to build skill equity for emerging economies and provide solutions for grassroots projects, with girls and women leading at the forefront. Now, Priyanka's puzzle began almost 10 years ago when she was working on increasing digital literacy for girls and women in shelters, and she realized that education, empowerment, and deep investment is absolutely critical to build India's tech aid and a billion-strong population of self-determined individuals with the emerging skills to get there. With her own background in systems engineering, corporate tech consulting, and cybersecurity, and experiences at the World Bank, PepsiCo, and Novartis, Priyanka found that putting together the puzzle pieces required organizing at many different intersections, notably thinking about a model that is democratized and leveraging AI as a substrate for problem solving. So she used the blockchain model first in 2022 to innovatively execute India's first intensive all-women smart government contracted engineering cohort, and since then has led numerous cohorts and sessions, building lifetime momentum for over 2,000 girls. Now, what impressed me most about 100 Girls in Blockchain is that their adaptive solutions and practical problem solving is making the global big picture a lot sharper and more accessible. Priyanka's award-winning work and collaborations in India and abroad are having impact for so many critical dyads, startups and institutions, rural and urban, tech naive and tech savvy, and finally for both individuals and teams, making financial inclusion and mobility more possible for more women and girls everywhere. By the way, as a demo and capstone, on May 4th, she's showcasing an event called the 100 Giga Demo Day, and 100 Giga stands for 100 Girls in Generative AI. The result of a three-month bootcamp of girls building software solutions with AI innovations in healthcare, finance, agriculture, and education. We caught up to chat about the many opportunities and the lessons from 100 Girls in Blockchain, and we started our chat with some basic talk and explanation for a tech-naive person like me about blockchain and generative AI.
You know, it's been such an intimidating topic for so many people. And it's also because blockchain means several things to several people. Let me just condense it for you that can apply all across, right? So yeah. We've all been internet lovers. We've all seen this transformation from a read-only internet to a read-write internet, you know, with Facebook, Orkut, and with read-only, you know, I meant it was just, say, Google just throwing us out things, you know, that we could consume. And then slowly we progressed to, you know, the mid-2000s with read-write. And there we loved sharing images. We loved connecting with people through read-write. Now we are entering this paradigm shift of read-write and own, which not only is a win-win for equity, but also economy, because I get to own my content. So as we all love the Abhay Show, trust me, I know what I'm doing. I technically am a stakeholder of this podcast now. So with blockchain, what we can do is technically launch a Abhay token, which is only for you know, the listeners, right? So basically, I get to participate in your success. So the more I watch your podcast and listen podcasts, my Abhay currency goes up. So, you know, so you know that who is your actual loyal fan, who needs to probably get rewards for just listening. So it's just this way of building equitable economies where it's not manipulated by big tech or just one centralized power, but the decentralization actually benefits everyone.
And it seems like it's an important part of the democratization of not only just the internet, but for that matter, anything.
Absolutely.
Right. And just really making sure that there is great ownership, great distribution, and of course, transparency. And when you now throw in the specter of AI and generative AI, this also is something that means different things to different people.
Yes.
And for those who may or may not be familiar with how AI is disrupting virtually everything now.
Yes.
How would you maybe introduce the concept of AI or generative AI to someone, again, who's kind of entering the space as a novice?
Right. The AI has been long, long there, established in our realms. But it's only now that we see generative AI, the new kid on the block, making waves. Because it's able to take complex inputs and give us that complex output in a very simplified format. So by which what I mean is, just closer home to India, we are able to bring many more retail outlets. You know how you have these small Kirana stores that are outlined in India? Every third person is an entrepreneur because we've gone and bought, our daily groceries from them. How we as folks sitting in America and actually can go buy from these Kirana store owners can one day happen because of generative AI, because we are not only bringing them on this network of, AI predictive analysis where they can say that, hey, look, if you have 100 customers, that is a search. You have predictive analysis with generative AI to tell you that you need to stock up your bread and butter for that, coming months. So our girls are actually building the solution in 22 languages and 1600 dialects, because India is just, demographically such a diverse country. So really proud of my girls who are doing that. And Mahalika, Nandini, shout out to you if you're listening.
When you mention, of course, that the women and girls that you're working with are helping to build many of these solutions. And I've read where you talk a little bit more about building skill equity. So in this journey of what you're doing right now, what does it mean to actually build skill equity?
Absolutely, Abhay. I love the question and I've dedicated my life purpose to it. So systemically, girls have been away from the forefront of technological advancements. If you see, even in the medical care studies, 32% of these studies, or in fact, even more back then, only 45% of these clinical trials on medicines have been done on men. And these medicines have no effect to less effect on women. If you come closer home, even if you go to these rice farmers, you have a lot of research assistants working with these farmers, but they only go and talk to male farmers. I'm talking in very rural heartland India, where women either do not have the freedom to go to home, or they don't culturally are not very familiar to talking to men. So they don't take inputs from women. And because of these research labs not being inclusive, what we see is these rice paddies are not even growing to a height where it's supposed to. And it's technically, these women farmers need to bend down and take it, which is kind of disrupting. So it is, technology has done harm in a lot of ways to women and to women of color. So the more women we get on this panel, the more women discuss about these solutions, we are building an inclusive world, which will, proliferate economy. And let me tell you, Abhay, there's $172 trillion missing from the gender equality gap. We have 133 years more to close the pay gap as well. Yeah. It starts now. These numbers need to start changing now at the grassroots levels with, young minds at their foundation age actually using their tools and talent to build for the grassroots of emerging economies. Of course, we start with India. And I remember mentioning this to you that we're getting a lot of inquiries from Senegal, Nigeria, to actually start these kind of innovation boot camps there.
Well, and it seems like the equity gap, whether it's in labor, whether it's in rural India, whether it's in Africa, whether it's in tech, whether it's in finance, these all need to be addressed. And is the foundation of this just disrupting some of these very, very embedded structural norms? I mean, this is a task that is equivalent to, unfortunately, like boiling the ocean. So yes. How do you tackle and prioritize and maybe even find specifics so that you can have measurable but sustained small victories and gains here?
Ooh, absolutely love this question, and very critical to, you know, the implementation, which is actually 99% of the task at what we do at 100 Girls. Dismantling economic structures comes with strategic partnerships, Abhay.
Yeah.
I believe, you know, because my journey started off with the AI skill recommendation engine picked up by Amazon Web Services as their Head Start Innovator tier. We've got amazing boost from the team of Amazon Web Services trying to proliferate our solution into the Zilla Parishad schools. They have a strategic way of, you know, deploying their solutions along with the cloud solutions. As these cloud solutions power these schools, they have a way to take their Amazon startup related solutions into the weeds as well. Plus, it needs to be this holy grail of industry, academia, governance, which paves way for solutions of this scale to be implemented. So when I say that, you know, we are very closely working with IIIT Hyderabad. That is the incubation platform for, you know, bringing anyone from farmers who need AI to retail folks who need AI to tackling, you know, how in Jharkhand they have these coal mines and there's actually asbestos in the blood of these coal miners. So just having that kind of knowledge and awareness, how do you reach them without the devices, right?
And by the way, those solutions are being built by women, by girls, by teams that have been able to now customize solutions in this way. Is that correct?
That is true. That is true. So these are built by girls. That way we have more inclusive and, you know, just DNA wise, we are more empathetic people. Like that's how we built. My biggest cheerleaders are my dad and my brother. So, you know, I absolutely love
the men
in my life. But just, you know, DNA wise, I think women are built a little differently to, you know, put their emotions first. And we get a lot of deep thoughts, like a girl who's sitting in the city in Hyderabad thinking about a coal miner in Jharkhand. That itself deserves an applause, because teenagers these days, unfortunately, with the influence of social media, become more about likes and, you know, just proliferating their presence online. Very rare and few, although they want to do good, they don't know where to go, and we're building avenues for making platform for them to succeed. So that's the end goal. And it will only happen with this holy grail of industry, academia, and governance.
And we talked a little bit about blockchain at the very beginning. So in a way, because it's based with the substrate of having women to fulfill some of these solutions and work and really get educated so that some of these problems can be solved, and that too from a very empathetic lens. But why is blockchain, this idea of democratizing that, why is that so critical to actually showcase and scale the mission that you're talking about?
Very, very brilliant question. So it's because of the trust deficit that we have in these kind of areas, right? Where we're working with farmer solutions, but the crops need a GI tag to ensure that we're not selling counterfeit crops. So we're doing solutions with, you know, these lockdown turmeric in Assam, which is grown, but the 100 kg of that turmeric is probably sold as counterfeit, and there's probably just 2% of the actual turmeric out there. So how do you trace these kind of, you know, counterfeits and actually provide benefits? And you're also saving a lot of lives by not providing them these kind of counterfeit products.
Right.
So you need blockchain-based solutions that give you that track and trace architecture. Plus, it's built on, you know, the three pillars of transparency, trust, and security, where you are able to eliminate middlemen efficiently in that supply chain. and optimize the supply chain to ensure the profitability goes back to those farmers. So especially in a country like India or emerging economies, you know, anywhere in Africa as well, this kind of blockchain-based solutions are so much necessary to scale trust.
No, I mean, that's critical, right? And that's the essence of building relationships is to base it on trust and help cultivate that. You're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing. After a quick break, we'll come back to our conversation with the founder and CEO of 100 Girls in Blockchain, Priyanka Kamat. Stay tuned. Conversation. It's the antidote to apathy and the catalyst for relationships. I'm Abhay Dandekar, and I share conversations with global Indians and South Asians so everyone can say, trust me, I know what I'm doing. New episodes weekly, wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Hi, this is Vidya Balan, and you're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing.
Hi, I'm Nisha Pahuja. I am the director of the documentary film To Kill a Tiger, which is currently streaming on Netflix. And you are listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing.
Welcome back to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing. Let's rejoin our conversation now with Priyanka Kamat. You help build cohorts in a way of women to help, not just prove concepts, but of course to execute on the tasks and deliverables that you're talking about here. Does this almost currency of building community and then translating this to better outcomes, does this actually truly make a difference, not just for the deliverable, but for the girls themselves, particularly if the girls and women can then support each other beyond just what the cohort activity was?
Yes, beautiful. Love the way you put it, actually, because it's the sisterhood in the cohort that actually lifts these girls to do better, because it's a great mix, Abhay. As you know, it's only the top 1% that goes into those niche IIT and NITs of India, which is the Ivy League equivalent. So the 17 million students who are actually coming into the workforce think they're not enough because they didn't make that cut. And we are showing them, look, we will give you the tools. We have this vision. We will give you this set of trailblazer girls that you can actually pick from. And in fact, most of our leaders, they mingle a lot well with the grassroots girls. So there's a IIT lead working with a marginalized community girl whose dad is a potter. And she comes and asks her cohort leaders, Didi, my dad is a potter. How do I build a chat GPT that can actually, is a voice-enabled GPT that will tell him what are the best avenues to sell his pottery goods? So she's actually applying her real-time insights into this cohort. And this is how we build skill equity, Abhay. So this girl, because she has a diverse background and upbringing, works with this amazing girl from IIT. And they both work hand in hand with these synergies to actually benefit the bottom billion. So I'm really proud of the sisterhood.
When you hear a story like this, I imagine that it resonates powerfully for you. But so, I mean, oftentimes as startup founders or people who are now sharing their vision and what their missions are, for you personally, what exactly is your why? And for that matter, how did you come to that why?
Yes. As they say, it takes like five holy whys to do this. Let me tell you about, I was having the time of my life at PepsiCo Toronto. I was actually mitigating cybersecurity risk for a 100-year-old company. And it was the best learning of my days at that point. And we actually had deployed the solutions in Dallas, PepsiCo at that point. And they said, hey, look, we want you to go to Canada and, work for some of these applications too. So when this was happening, the pandemic actually hit. I was stuck in a new country without medical services, but I was actually having breathing issues. There was only one doctor available in the Mississauga, Toronto area who could see me, because I thought, this is it. I don't know if I'll ever get that evacuation flight to India. Until I got the doctor's appointment, it always kept hitting me, Priyanka, what was the thing that you always wanted to do? Why did you have to wait until now to do it, right? So it's those flashes of, you know, near death that actually
yeah.
is like, you've been working with the marginalized community girls since 2010. You've done these collection drives. You've got the Wipro laptops to their shelter homes. You've been training them ever since. You've raised in Cotton Bowl Stadium, Dallas, for them, for their education for an annual year. Why are you not bringing more girls into the spectrum? That's when I was like, look, I'm taking that Air India evacuation flight, getting back home, putting my mind to this and coming up with a business plan. And very, I think, serendipitously, my co-founder, Dr. Balaji Muthusubramaniam, he's an astrophysicist turned data scientist. There itself, like, you know, I had so much of learning to do. And then he was already working on this solution in Germany, a prototype for HR tech. But I was like, Balaji, we're here in India, 17 million students need us. Let's swap this to a skill recommendation engine where the students are able to understand better on how to keep up with the technological advancements. And actually, right. no matter if they come from civil engineering, mechanical, they're from arts and humanities background, if they really want to learn something, we should be building that tool for them. So we took 1 year in that peak pandemic. And yeah, something about the pandemic and me, the minute I landed in India, it was peak wave one there. There was lack of hospital beds. It was a very dark period. So we used our recommendation engine to actually find hospitals out there,
right.
whatever was the nearest locality. So look, the pilot worked. People were getting their hospital beds. And then we were like, look, you know, it's just a matter of swapping the database from the hospitals to the training centers and computer learning centers. So we did that. The pilot worked out well too. But definitely we did one mistake of boiling the ocean again there. Like, we took 75,000 skills, mapped it with 5,000 jobs that were available versus if we would have, we would have just focused on, say, non-tech to tech or engineering to, say, blockchain, that would have really bought us good efficiency. So we are still, like, you know, trying to improvise the tool. And hopefully with the latest, I think Llama 3 just released its latest stack. So we might just come up with something more powerful going forward.
Well, and it seems like, of course, you know, these bursts of inspiration and serendipity and finding collaboration and partners and taking a solution and transposing it to something that you feel very passionate about, took some of that motivation and impetus to really get the fuel behind it. When you now relay that story to a new girl or woman who's new to this space and they are excited and perhaps really now motivated to participate and get into this work, how do you anchor often this kind of boundless excitement and aspiration with, you know, and hope actually with real expectations and the realities of kind of deliverables? How do you kind of thread that needle of making sure that you want to really tap into someone's incredible enthusiasm with the realities of what expectations are there?
It's been a challenge. It's been a challenge, I will not lie, because getting the girls to have this adoption towards new technologies when the existing, you know, job is working well, or like they already have internships with their latest front-end stack and back-end stack and whatnot, having them to see the bigger purpose behind the mission was very important to us. So when we say that, hey, look, even though you're an engineer, don't put your arts or music aside. You are able to build passive income channels through these, you know, mechanisms of subscription economy that is actually allowed by blockchain. So just I give them my own example, because my journey with blockchain, you know, because we couldn't monetize our AI skill recommendation engine, I was trying ways to survive because I didn't want to go back to corporate America. And I was very good at 3D avatars. But the vision was always to bring the 3D avatar into a spatial learning environment where my 3D avatar is teaching many more kids. And, you know, even though I can't be at every school, at every Zilla Parishad school, maybe my 3D avatar will be. So that got picked up by a Bored Ape Yacht Club member, which is the elite Justin Biebers of the world, kind of get into that club. So I was like, why are these people buying like my avatar as an NFT, which was actually a teacher? And that was an aha moment again, that look, if I could convert this into a passive income, so could my girls. And because I was telling you early on, the marginalized community girls, we wanted to get them out of the shelter home. So if there are ways that, you know, their soap making, their jewelry making, all of this can actually fund back to their education, I could be the face of that. So we build those mechanisms of economic structures, which fund it back into, like, you know, a circular economy for them. So that was the idea. And when they connected with that, they were like, yes, Didi, we want to come and learn, tell us how to do it. Of course, we wouldn't tell it as NFT because, you know, again, that somehow there's still a very scammy narrative to that. There's a lot of scams at the moment and a lot of rug pulls. So we need to ensure how we are actually having the narrative. So digital collectible memorabilia that stays on the internet eternally and is actually able to trace back that, look, this particular piece of jewelry was made by this girl. She needs to get paid back and probably not be exploited by a middleman there. So I think the girls connected with that.
You know, there are parallel streams here, right? There's the learning and the structure and the aspiration of really designing different AI solutions and working with a cohort, with the reality of, look, there needs to be some sustainability to what you do, and having those parallel sources of income in very novel and unique ways. It sounds like that message is one that you have to keep just harping on in a way, so you that, you know, so everyone can just hear it over and over again.
You said it, Abhay, right? Because yeah, a lot of times, because they're bubbling with enthusiasm, they want to build everything under the sky. And we have to show them, look, there's a certain ROI that you need to build so you can sustain yourself. You can't be building 500 features that don't work versus five features that work.
Well, you know, and when you think about it that way, whether it's from your experience in corporate America and now as you're leading and learning from many of these girls and women who are getting into this space, in fact, succeeding in this space, what's the solution to building more ladders of trust for women in tech and STEM careers, mostly so that hopefully in the future that it doesn't seem like there needs to be, there is an equity gap, and rather, you know, the women are populating these areas in very fulfilling ways. And of course, you know, helping to support each other and their allies.
Yes. In the future, you know, this is a very self-driven mission. And that's where my company is also called Skill DAO Private Limited. So a DAO is a decentralized autonomous organization where you don't need a hierarchy. You don't need a CEO, CTO to run this. It's all programmed with a smart contract, which tells you who the stakeholders are. This is what the, you know, rules are. And anyone who contributes more gets the skill currency. Anyone who tries to, you know, do harm is out of the DAO. So this is where I think the mission of skill currency momentum, I keep talking this to the ex-Stanford GSB chair, Kirtika Reddy. We are so grateful to have a partnership on this mission. She has this amazing blockchain authenticated platform, which actually helps with a plug and play model. So whatever my girls build technically goes on as a blockchain authenticated storefront. Where you know, folks can come in and shop these you know, jewelries that they've created, or like soap that they've created. In fact, they have now gone and also helped save Indian art forms. I believe you must be knowing of Patachitra art, very famous in Odisha. It's a very intricate temple architecture that's on, you know, beautifully on this canvas. So they found out ways to actually bring it on sarees and merch and actually give it back to the artisans as well. Knowing that this is a blockchain authenticated storefront, which allows us to interact with the artists and know their struggles better. Probably instead of now going to like a big merchandise company, I go buy my gifts from, you know, from this artist on his merch. Right. So that's the circular economy that, you know, my girls are able to create because of platforms like this. So shout out to Kirtika Reddy as well for giving us this opportunity.
Well, and hopefully that scales and spreads to more and more mentors and people who are out there to create different ecosystems like this.
Yes.
You're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing. After a quick break, let's come back to our conversation with Priyanka Kamath. Stay tuned. Conversation. It's the antidote to apathy and the catalyst for relationships. I'm Abhay Dandekar, and I share conversations with global Indians and South Asians so everyone can say, trust me, I know what I'm doing. New episodes weekly, wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Krish Ashok, author of Masala Lab, The Science of Indian Cooking, and you're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tam France.
What's up, everyone? This is Anto Philip.
Hi, my name is Richa Morjani, and you're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing with Abhay Dandekar.
Hi there, I'm Abhay Dandekar, and you're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing. Let's rejoin our conversation now with the founder and CEO of 100 Girls in Blockchain, Priyanka Kamath. In the end, it seems like taking a wonderful idea and in any startup ecosystem, in order to take that to the next level, you know, the next sort of plateau to scale and grow even more, there has to be this network of capital and network of people and access to levers of power, right? So what's the strategy perhaps to take this, which is actually based upon such democratization of capital and you know, networking, where there is no, you know, the hierarchy is much more flat and available and accessible and transparent to people, and yet the sort of non-blockchain environment doesn't always exist like that. So how do you strategize to merge those two worlds together, especially if you want to grow and scale your processes to the next level?
Amazing. This is the hard talk that I think I have with myself every single night.
Right.
Right? Where does the capital come from? How do we sustain? How do we bring more girls? This is where I think it's the beauty of long-term relationships. I've never seen 100 Girls as a form of transaction or a way of building business versus it's a movement where we are being more inclusive to the bottom billion while our girls are actually spearheading the forefront of advancements. Right from the start, my first project was actually with the government of Telangana, and I was an educator there, so we were able to teach girls on how to do government based use cases, implement them real time. So now the next step is, you know, the government takes onus to technically take it and implement it. Although the first one has actually come live. The second one was sponsored by Ethereum Foundation. You know, we are totally banking on the grants at the moment. Going forward, like, we are now entering our fourth cohort. As I said, the third cohort is currently sponsored by Amazon Web Services. So, but going forward, we definitely, you know, are looking at impact investors. I do have a few calls lined up, and we're able to build a pipeline of funds towards these girls. That way, there is an equal amount of participation from college funneling their girls into the cohort. Plus, we have the impact in investors trying to make that cyclic momentum from idea to implementation. And then, you know, further having the subject matter expertise who are very much integral to the core, because we're validating these systems and only then deploying it real time. So that way we have an investment funnel that pulls everything inside, and, you know, we become that successful DAO as we always envisioned.
When those who are new to the space, or even those who are actually working in the tech environment, whether it's in the spaces that you're talking about, or you know, other non-blockchain environments, or even in those who are not necessarily working in generative AI to build solutions, it's easy to get seduced in a way by the prospect that one can be, you know, just has to learn this and they will be successful. And there's many, many steps in between that we know, right? So for those, you know, who are discovering this, there's such an incredible pace of tech and there's so many steps involved, and it's incredibly arduous and very taxing. You know, the scope and need of building community then from your level must just be, along with that pace, must just be breathtaking. So with that, I mean, how do you find peace and quiet and deep thinking time? And then how do you, in a way, model that to the girls who you work with in so that you can intentionally preserve this notion that, look, you can't sustain yourself at a pace like that, no matter how glamorous the returns are.
Yes. Oh, Abel, like you have this vision like no other, and you are able to get into the psyche of a mind. And you've somewhere, you know, read all the demons that I have to confront, you know, most times.
I mean, they're common demons, right?
You know, it takes a deep level of self-awareness to actually confront those demons, because I've committed to this now. And, you know, the girls need to showcase the same passion. And sometimes I don't see them on that level of passion, because for them, it might just be checking that one box of we've done the final year project and, you know, we get more lucrative options because of this. Right. But for me, it's touching that farmer's life. It's touching that rural doctor who is probably burdened with, you know, his task. And he needs that kind of a chatbot assistant, at least to do mundane or repetitive tasks. So right. When it hits home to that level and I don't see that kind of passion, that's when, you know, I see, like, how can I build more assessment criteria to actually filter in the right amount of girls and the right mindset. Once that's done, Abhay, let me tell you, it is the easiest and it feels like fun and games, as long as you've identified the right girl in the cohort. We do this through a lot of, you know, fun ways as well. We have a holistic assessment where they build prototypes of what they think, you know, the current solution can be done better with AI. So in fact, the Jharkhand coal miner example that I gave you, it came from 17-year-old Shailaja, who built this with AWS PartyDoc, which allows you to become an AI chatbot maker in 5 minutes. So we use a lot of low-code, no-code tooling and ask them, hey, you know, give me your idea. What did you always want to build? Or what your biggest pain points are? How would you solve that with AI? And we see them tinkering with these low-code, no-code tools. And we are able to identify who is the girl we need to work with, Abhay, and then we give them a certain set of criteria to fill in.
I'm imagining that for those who don't necessarily have, they might have passion, but they might still be struggling to develop some of these solutions.
Yes.
I'm also imagining that equally there is it's important to have the coaching to stay resilient and to not give up and to make sure that you're perhaps going to the next level of motivating and reminding people that it takes time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we do have the most heartwarming sisterhood. Like I said, you know, the leads that we picked up, I've built long-term relationship with them, and they have their own hardships where, you know, they have come into education because of scholarships. They or their fathers are, you know, struggling with income channels. So we know education is a force multiplier in these kind of, you know, girls' lives. And they take extra effort to pull those 10 other girls in. So usually how it goes is the 100 girls, we have mostly like a pyramid format where the leads are selected, you know, based on their participation in class, what are the low-code, no-code tools they've built. We first onboard the human and then we onboard the engineering techniques. Because like I said, we work with everyone from artisans to farmers to doctors. So whoever is able to give more ideas to solve those grassroots level problems, we know that those are our leads and they will figure out a way to get out of, you know, any kind of hurdle that we give them. But you're so right. I think going forward, because this will be our fourth cohort, we're trying to make it as inclusive to the non-tech folks too. I myself was an electrical engineer, now into, you know, full tech. We're definitely going to find out a way, and that's where, you know, we built that AI recommendation engine tool that would help us to do it. Yeah.
I'm imagining that there's a lot of, you know, empathy that you have to develop as a, whether it's an engineer, as a tech person, as an educator, as a leader. I'm curious about this one. If you could have a conversation with yourself as an 18-year-old, if you could go back and have a conversation with 18-year-old Priyanka, what advice would you give her?
Abhay, I would tell her she's enough. I would tell her no matter the brickbats, no matter how much people told that you couldn't do the certain tasks because you have certain limitations as gender, as systemic biases, I would have told her that she will cross all of that and go do what she was meant to do, find her purpose and calling in life. And the scores never mattered. The background that she came from never mattered. And the fact that she didn't have a hospital when she was born, when she had to, her mother had to be taken to the nearby town to actually have that hospital for her to be born, will probably fuel her to build more from grassroots. So I think "you are enough" is probably that one line that I would always tell myself. I tell that to my girls as well.
And I'll follow that up with the last thought I had for you. And that is, as you mentioned, right? I mean, these are complex ecosystems. They deal with complex technology and technology that's evolving at a very rapid pace. Yeah. And the idea that you are enough is, you know, such an important message to remind people of. And now, as you think about, you know, what you just said, that the advice you would give to yourself as an 18-year-old, when you meet girls and women who are 18 years old or younger even, and they're entering the space and eager to learn, and of course, you're reminding them of your own experiences, perhaps, and laying the backdrop of this very complex technology and hoping to simplify it for solutions at scale, what are you also learning yourself? What are you learning yourself from the girls who are entering this space?
There
must hopefully be some great feedback and learnings and lessons that you're taking away from them as well.
You said it, Abed, this is so profound, actually, because there's one thing I've always learned, Abed, that the law of life is actually the law of summed beliefs. That's what I've understood from them, because they believe, ma'am, we have this problem to solve. We will then put these tools to use. We have this vision and we're going to implement with actionable insights. So that sum of beliefs is actually leading them to the final milestone where they implement their projects. So that's what I've learned, that self-belief can take you places. And no matter how much you get opposed, and there will be hurdles at the point, but it's only realizing you to your true self and your true potential. So I've learned to unleash my potential from the girls. That's one key takeaway from them.
Well, unleashing potential, harnessing so much richness out there in both the technology and the people who you're leading. We're all very much rooting and celebrating all that you do. Priyanka, thank you so much for joining us. This was really quite insightful. And again, I hope we can visit with you again down the road.
Yes, absolutely. Abhay, let me tell you, this was like a meditative experience for me. It was about confronting demons. It's about how do I sustain capital growth. So it's amazing. I'm taking a lot from this session with you and just wanted to thank you. 100X Forces are coming at you on May 4th, which is the Star Wars Day, where we have our first generative AI projects coming to the surface. So hope we can get into the hands of every farmer who needs it, every doctor who needs it, every educator who needs it, and the rural girl who's trying to get to understand what ETFs are, what Bitcoin ETFs are, we will also let her know that. So, you know, this is a grand vision of building skill equity, and glad we had this platform with you to share it.
Thanks so much, Priyanka. And please do check out this amazing event on May 4th. Remember that our strength lies often not in who we push out of the way, but rather who we can lift up. Till next time, I'm Abhay Dandekar.